journey of a lifetime.
From Mecca's light to Zamzam's grace. From Mecca's light to Zamzam's grace. A journey of heart through time and place. A journey of heart through time and place.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa salatu wa salamu ala Sayyid al-Anbiya wal Mursaleen. Amma ba'd fa'a'udhu billahi min ash-shaytani rajim. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله A very warm and heartily welcome to one and all Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen It is a brand new series and this is the first program and episode of this new series dear viewers called The Journey of a Lifetime Subhanallah. May Allah Kareem make this lamha, this moment, this month Mubarak for one and all. May our ending month of the Islamic calendar end on a good note and may it also begin on a good note, dear viewers. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive us our sins and may Allah azza wa jalla grant shifa to those who are sick. May Allah azza wa jalla forgive the sins of those who have left this world with iman. May Allah Kareem grant us all istiqamat and for as long as we live, may Allah azza wa jalla protect our faith and our iman. Subhanallah, it's a new program and this program shall be coming to you the first 10 days of the Hijjah, inshallah, azza wa jalla. To make these programs even more spicy and electrifying, mashallah, we have honorable and esteemed muballighs and ulamas of Da'awat Islami that shall be joining us in each and every program, inshallah, azza wa jalla. We have a very senior muballigh, mashallah, my brother, our mentor, mashallah, my colleague, and needs no introduction to the airwaves of Madani Channel, subhanallah, one of our oldest muballighs in Madani Channel especially, and he is my beloved, honorable Mawlana Noshad Hafidhahullah, alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen, and he's right here with us at this very moment, mashallah, we say marhaba, ahlan wa sahlan bikum to Mawlana Sahib as well. Shukran ya Sayyidi for joining us in this program. And for making the time to be here, Mawlana Sahib will be with us in today's episode and we hope to receive more and more blessings and barakah and Madani pearls from His Eminence, inshallah, Azza wa Jal. Yes, dear viewers, it's a Mubarak program. And yes, as you can see by the theme and by the name of this program, a journey of a lifetime. And that's referring to the Hajj itself, mashallah. There are many, many Islamic brothers and sisters who have embarked on this Mubarak once in a lifetime journey. May Allah Azza wa Jalla accept their Hajj. Many are there at this very moment making tawaf of the Holy Kaaba. Many are making dua in front of the Holy Kaaba. Allahu Akbar. Many have seen it for the first time and I'm sure they have no words to even describe how they may have felt after witnessing the beauty of the Holy Kaaba, Ya Sayyidi. Allahu Akbar. I have a brother, mashallah, a friend who has been there and just 1-2 days back, I taken some reviews from him. And he just mentioned the same thing, that I have no words to explain and express what I'm actually going through right now. I cannot even believe where Allah has brought me. This is my Hajj. And then the fun and the enthusiasm and the barakah and blessings of traveling through Mina, Muzdalifa, Arafah, all these symbols and all these rituals, Ya Sayyidi, Subhanallah, are so Mubarak that it cleanses a person, Ya Sayyidi. It erases his sin, Subhanallah. Absolutely. A person comes out clean after Hajj. And there are many, mashallah, whose lives are going to be changed once they return back home, inshallah. This is the dua that's made. And this is what's hoped. Actually, if you know any person returning back after Hajj, dear viewers, one hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam states, do not let him go back until you ask him to make dua for you. Subhanallah. Ask him to make dua, shake his hands. Why? Because he has returned back to his home as he is forgiven. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So alhamdulillah, this is our program starting from tonight. The first episode as you are watching, alhamdulillah, that's going to run until the 10th of Dhul Hijjah, insha'Allah azza wa jalla. And daily we will have different muballighs who will be coming. Together with that, we even will be listening to some beautiful rejuvenating kalams, Ya Sayyidi, inshallah. That shall increase the love and mahabba for Allah Azza wa Jalla and His beloved Habib Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Inshallah Azza wa Jalla. So are you ready, dear viewers, to embark on a journey of faith and sacrifice, inshallah? Subhanallah. Come, let's go from the golden sands of Makkatul Mukarramah to the sacred walls of the Holy Kaaba, to the blessed gullies and streets of Madinatul Munawwara, inshallah, azza wa jalla. Yes, dear viewers, we, inshallah, azza wa jalla, shall trace the footsteps of Hazrat Sayyidina Ibrahim Khalilullah and Ismail Zabihullah alayhi salatu wassalam, who are the symbol of unshakable devotion, Ya Sayyidi. Subhanallah. It's time for us now to understand their sacrifices that they have rendered. Subhanallah, inspiring millions to answer the call of Hajj and Qurbani. They are the founder of the Holy Kaaba. Subhanallah. So we're going to be speaking about these great personalities as well. So we are requesting the viewers of Madani Channel to please stay tuned with us. Join us daily if you wish to relive this timeless legacy, is embracing the spirit of submission, trust and unity, inshallah, azza wa jalla. These are the great personalities about whom we shall be discussing and mentioning their fadail, their virtues, their blessings. And today, being the first episode, we shall be speaking about the first house on this planet. Jihad, dear viewers, which was the first house on this earth? Which was the first building on this planet? Subhanallah. Facts about the Holy Kaaba.
Allah, subhanallah.
Blessings about the Holy Kaaba. The whole world revolves and make tawaf of this Kaaba. Who built this Kaaba? How was it built? Subhanallah. So, real facts that shall increase your ilm and knowledge related to Makkatul Mukarrama, related to the Kaaba. As other days, Maulana Sahib, we shall be speaking about different masajid in Makkatul Mukarrama and Madinatul Munawwara, inshallah, azza wa jalla, and about the ancient history of Makkatul Mukarrama itself, things associated to the beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
There's some beautiful topics that are lined up.
Subhanallah. Subhanallah.
See, the idea is to empower ourselves with authentic knowledge.
100%, yes.
There's lots of information out there, but when it comes to authentic knowledge,
subhanallah.
Alhamdulillah, azza wa jalla, Dawud Islami is a bastion of that. Alhamdulillah.
Subhanallah.
And I think we must just clarify that when we talk about the first house on planet Earth, we're not talking about a house that somebody built in order to stay in.
Kya baat?
Because this house is like no ordinary house. It is Baytullah, the house of Allah Azza wa Jalla.
Subhanallah.
That Allah Azza wa Jalla doesn't stay there, of course. Yes. He is free from body and space. Yes. But this is the symbol of monotheism, the worship of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Subhanallah.
So inshallah, we will be sharing some facts and maybe figures as well regarding the glorious Kaaba, inshallah.
Are you ready, dear viewers? Subhanallah. Let's recite the Rood-e Pak loudly. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. In fact, Ya Sayyidi, the first question that comes to my mind, because the Holy Kaaba is situated in Makkatul Mukarrama.
Yes.
And this entire compound or this area is known as Masjidul Haram.
Yes.
Where the Holy Kaaba is situated, the Mutaf area and the areas that surround the Mutaf itself, right? The Haram itself. So people should know that why is it called Masjidul Haram? I mean, even in the Quran Pak, we have the months which are sacred, right?
Yes.
And we have the Shahr and the months which are known as Shahrul Hurum.
Yes.
The four sacred months.
Yeah.
And this is the plural for Haram itself, right? And subhanallah, a lot of people would like to know as to, or they should know, should I say, because I was questioned at once, even on Madani Channel, I've heard this before as well. But from time to time, it's nice to educate and impart this knowledge and ilm, alhamdulillah. Yeah. So Masjidul Haram itself, why is it called haram? Because haram is a word, when it comes to the mind, the first thought comes to mind is that, acha, forbidden. Haram means
prohibited.
How can you
call it Masjid Haram?
Exactly. How could you call it Masjid Haram? Astaghfirullah. So can Mawlana Sahib, inshallah, shed some light on this matter itself?
Well, alhamdulillah, azza wa jal. So this is where, you see, knowledge is so important.
Right.
That we understand things in the context.
Right.
Because this actually refers to sacredness as well, because it's a place of aman, a place of safety. The ulama ikram, in fact, have mentioned, for example, Allama Mawlana Sayyid Muhammad Na'imuddin Murad Abadi rahmatullah ta'ala alayhi has stated in Khazainul Irfan that the word bayt, meaning baytullah, the ka'batullah, is referring to the holy Kaaba and includes the entire sacred haram. So this is also another word, haram, haram. Haram meaning the sacredness of the place, right?
Right.
And to make it a place of safety, so that in the haram itself, in the precincts of the haram, the sacredness of the boundaries of where Ka'batullah is, Masjid al-Haram is, it is forbidden, it is haram to engage in any type of violence.
Acha.
It is haram to engage in any type of hunting, any type of murder. It's mentioned in the books that even a criminal, if he enters the precincts of the haram, then he is also protected. He is even safe in the haram itself. So haram meaning that in within the boundaries of the haram, it is prohibited from murdering anybody, from committing crimes, from hunting. Even they say that animals, when they're in the precincts of the haram, then they don't attack each other. If you, and they use the example, for example, if there's a wolf and maybe a deer, or lions and wolves, then they will not attack each other. Another very interesting fact is that planes do not pass over the glorious Kaaba.
Kaaba.
Birds don't pass over the Kaaba. Here there's one is a, the spiritual aspect, we can say aspect of physics.
Right.
Now spiritually, because it's a sacred place, and so to uplift and maintain the respect of the glorious Kaaba, you won't find any objects, any planes, any birds of any type flying over the Kaaba, out of respect for the Kaaba Sharif. That's why in Makkah Sharif there's no airport. And from a physics point of view, they say, according to researchers, that the magnetism is so strong that it the planes cannot come close to the glorious Kaaba, the air space of the Kaaba itself. So subhanAllah, see how Almighty Allah Jalla Jalaluhu has protected the sanctity of the glorious Kaaba.
SubhanAllah, SubhanAllah, and chosen this spot on the earth to be for his house where people would worship Allah Azza wa Jalla, through which Alhamdulillah, we attain devotion and subhanAllah, nearness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's really amazing, Ya Sayyidi. I mean, how the Holy Kaaba is a guide for the entire world, Ya Sayyidi. And Allah Kareem mentions this in the Holy Quran Pak, وَهُدَلْ لِلْعَالَمِينَ and a guide to the entire world. So some people might think, how can a house be a guide? But this is the thing, Ya Sayyidi, guide for what? People go to see this Mubarak house and they come back all reformed. People go to visit this Holy Kaaba and they come back cleansed from sins. People go to witness and see the beauty of the Holy Kaaba, and when they come back, all their bad habits are all over, Ya Sayyidi. Look at the blessings of the Holy Kaaba itself.
The impact that it has.
SubhanAllah.
You know, some people, okay, who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed financially, maybe they can go every year. But there are so many millions out there. Their whole lives they're going to save just to have a look at the glorious Kaaba. Because to look at the Kaaba Sharif is reward also.
SubhanAllah.
In fact, I remember Amir Ahl Sunnah Damat Barakatuhum Al-Aliyah has written, also in Rafiqul Haramain, anybody who's going for Hajj, anybody who's gone for Hajj, you should advise them to get a copy of that, or even download for free from Dawud Islami. Every part of the Hajj, the ritual, Manasikul Hajj, is included in there. The du'as that you're going to do in your tawaf, in sa'i, etc., all are included Rafiqul in there as well. Rafiqul Haramain. Very beautiful book, Alhamdulillah Azza wa Jalla. So in there he mentions also that subhanAllah Azza wa Jalla, the very first glance that you have of the Kaaba, whatever du'a you make is accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then he advises also, he advises that keep your gaze lowered as much as you can, and then finally when you are there and you see the Kaaba Sharif, then make du'as, make this du'a as well, that Ya Allah Azza wa Jalla, from now onwards, whatever good du'as I make, please accept it.
Allahu Akbar. SubhanAllah. What a beautiful, comprehensive du'a. What a comprehensive du'a, Ya Sayyidi. SubhanAllah. Yeah, people say when you see the Holy Kaaba and you lift your hands, you don't know what to ask for. But when you ask, Ya Sayyidi, you should ask for a du'a that is comprehensive. That shall include all those blessings which insan needs, which we all need, subhanAllah. One poet makes a very beautiful dua, and I'm hoping, in fact, it is stated that when he made this dua, he made it at the Holy Kaaba. Maybe we should also, inshallah, repeat this dua in a form of blessings, subhanAllah. He says, Kaabe ke dar ke saamne mangi hai ye dua faqat.
SubhanAllah.
Kaabe ke dar ke saamne mangi hai ye dua faqat. Kaabe ke dar ke saamne mangi hai ye dua faqat. हाथों में हश्र तक रहे दामन मुस्तफा फकत. हाथों में हश्र तक रहे दामन मुस्तफा फकत. आमीन बिजाह नबी अमीन सल्लल्लाहु तआला अलैहि वसल्लम. SubhanAllah, SubhanAllah. So, Ji Sayyidi, The Kaaba is the guide to the entire world. We want to know more about the Holy Kaaba itself, Ya Sayyidi, because in the Holy Quran, Allah Kareem had stated in Surah Baqarah, also just to gain barakah and blessing, let's listen to this verse, inshallah. Azza wa Jalla, he states, Inna awwala baytin wudhi'a linnasi lalladhi bibakkata mubarakan wa hudal lil alameen. Indeed, the first house which was established as a place of worship for the people.
Allah.
As Maulana Sahib just mentioned, it's a place of worship. Our iman is that Allah doesn't live in the Holy Kaaba, but it reminds us of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's our direction to attain the nearness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through which we attain. And what a beautiful teaching of Islam. Everything around us, Ya Sayyidi, is a sign that gives us that Allah's existence is there. Absolutely. Allah does exist. Look at the trees, the mountain, the stars, the moon. We do not believe that in it is Allah. Others may believe that the power of Allah is in it. Mm-hmm. And we say that these are the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Mm-hmm. It can't be worshipped, but it leads us to the Creator itself.
To recognize that there is a Creator behind this.
Behind this.
You take this phone as well, you take that tablet, you take technology. A person won't say it just popped out of nowhere on its own.
Allahu Akbar.
You understand and recognize there's a Creator behind
it. It was manufactured, yes. It was made.
There was a Creator, there was a designer behind that. And likewise, everything around us, especially in nature, when you see the beauty of nature, when you see how the earth is exactly where it's supposed to be from the distance to the sun, if it's any much closer, we'll be roasted. If it's any few meters further away, we'll get frozen.
Allahu Akbar.
It's in the exact right
position.
Look at
the planning of Allah, the position that you
just said.
There's
a designer behind it.
Subhanallah. It could have not just came into existence by its own, Ya Sayyidi. Allah created it, subhanallah, and thus, just like how everything around us shows us that there is a Creator, the Kaaba itself is known as to be the house of Allah Azza wa Jalla, in which He does not live, but subhanallah, absolutely, through which we attain blessings and barakah, dear viewers. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Sayyidi, let us know more about the Holy Kaaba itself as Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Who was the first person to build the Holy Kaaba? We all understand it this way here. Many people mention that Nabi Ibrahim ala Nabina wa alayhi salatu wasalam, Nabi Ismail alayhi salatu wasalam had erected the Holy Kaaba. But is there any history prior to this, yani Kaabatullah Sharif being built? Can Muasa maybe, inshallah, shed some light on this matter so that we have a better view and knowledge regarding the Holy Kaaba itself?
According to the scholars of Islam, they have mentioned in reality, when Adam alayhi salam was sent down to planet Earth, then he actually built the Kaaba initially.
Kaaba.
And
subhanallah.
Subhanallah azza wa jal. Then obviously the flood in the time of Nuh alayhi salam arrived. The Kaaba Sharif was actually ascended, was protected.
Right.
And then when the water subsided, later on came Ibrahim alayhi salam. And he actually raised the foundations and basically rebuilt the Kaaba Sharif with Ismail alayhi salam, with his son. Because remember, at that time there was no population, nobody was staying there. When he left Hajira radiallahu anha, his honorable wife, and his infant son Ismail alayhi salam, when he left them over there, then it's in the valley, na? And so there was nobody staying there, there was no access to water. And subhanallah, through the dua of Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam, and as his son grew up and he built the Kaaba Sharif, that we see today that millions and tens of millions annually around the world, they flock towards the Kaaba Sharif. And subhanallah azza wa jal, this building is so sacred that it's also a symbol of unifying the ummah. We call it the brotherhood of Islam. Because anywhere in any part of the world that you go, you have to face the direction of the Qibla direction to perform Salah. And the Qibla direction is the Kaaba Sharif. So wherever you are, whether you go to China, whether you go to North, South America, Africa, Asia, Europe, Australasia, there's one thing, at least one thing you'll have in common as a believer, as a Muslim, anywhere in the world, that you're facing this exact same direction and performing your Salah. So now, you know, people are plotting to maybe inhabit another planet, maybe Mars, or I don't know which other planets are out there. They're trying to, you know, create places for humans to stay. So how can they perform Salah if Muslims are there? So, you know, subhanallah azza wa jal, where the Kaaba Sharif is located. So going up towards the sky is that exact direction, and going down into the earth, that entire line, you can say, is your direction itself.
Wow.
So you will face towards that line where the Kaaba Sharif is. If you draw a line up and down, That's the direction you're going to face. So it doesn't matter where you are in the universe, that's your direction that you will face to perform your salah.
Allahu Akbar.
Even down in the ocean as well, if they have any kind of dwellings, then you'll still face, because even going down under the Kaaba, if you draw a line going down into the seven earths, that's your direction you're going to face.
Amazing, Sayyidi. Amazing, amazing. Actually, it is also said that directly above the Holy Kaaba is the Kaaba of the angels, yes, Sayyidi.
Yes, correct.
Known as Baytul Ma'mur.
Yeah.
And the angels make tawaf of that Holy Kaaba. And subhanAllah, the angels make tawaf of that Kaaba, whereas this Kaaba is for us. However, Mu'asaf mentioned that during the flood of Nabi Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam, yes, this Kaaba had then ascended towards the heavens to the hukum of Allah Azza wa Jalla. And it is also then stated when Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam was then commanded to erect the Holy Kaaba, then Allah Kareem had shown him the place via a cloud that led him there, that appeared over the Kaaba. And when Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam redug the foundation of the Kaaba, he found the foundation of Nabi Adam alayhi salatu wasalam. After which he just had to follow the same line, the same foundation,
and build upon
the
wall.
SubhanAllah.
Oh, mashallah.
Really amazing, this is Sayyidi, just to know, SubhanAllah. And then Musa was mentioning about the aeroplanes. Sadr al-Afadil Mufti Ahmad Yarkhan Na'imi Rahmatullahi Ta'ala, he also mentioned something about birds. If Sayyidi Musa can shed some light on this matter.
No, actually it was mentioned something to this effect that out of respect for the Kaaba Sharif, the birds do not fly over the Kaabatullah. Oh,
SubhanAllah.
Imagine, I mean, this human being is a better creation of course
Allah,
than birds.
Allah,
so, I mean, they are respecting Allah, the Kaaba Sharif.
Who gave them this aql, Sayyidi? Who gave them this mind? Adab ka jo tariqa-e-kaar hai, kisne sikhaya in parindu ko?
It's only one creator.
Allahu Akbar.
The creator Allahu of the Akbar. Birds, the creator of the humans, the creator of all of the creation.
Subhanallah.
He gave this knowledge.
Allahu
to,
Akbar.
Okay, maybe science will say, no, it's something which is inherent and instinctive, automatically they know. How automatically they know? No, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given that knowledge to these creations. And that's how they know.
They would not defecate. They would not enter the Kaaba, any over the Kaaba, as Muhammad said, they would not fly. They would not sit over the Kaaba, on top of the Kaaba. And rather, Mufti Ahmad Yarkhan Na'imi Rahmatullahi Ta'ala further adds, the birds that fall ill, they become sick. They actually treat themselves as they fly through the breeze around the Holy Kaaba. Allahu Akbar, Ya Sayyidi. Just imagine, they know where to find shifa from. And this is the place where they gain shifa. And if Allah Kareem grants those birds shifa, that attain shifa and blessings through the breeze of the Kaaba, then what about humans who are making tawaf around the Holy Kaaba?
Subhanallah.
We should also have yaqeen that Allah Kareem will remove our problems, our difficulties, adversities. Subhanallah. In fact, Ala Hazrat Rahmatullahi Ta'ala taught us the respect, the adab of such a maqam and place, which is the haram of the Holy Kaaba, the haram of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam as well. Subhanallah. We don't understand the sanctity, Ya Sayyidi. When we get there, so many things happen unknowingly and knowingly. But we need to make sure that once we embark on such a journey, even forgetfully, such mistakes should not be committed. Ala Hazrat in his poetry and through poetry, mashallah, you know, love is expressed, warnings are given, Allah. Many things are described through poetry itself. And in the language of poetry, he taught us the adab and what type of respect should we show to the lands of Haram Sharif. He says, Haram ki zami aur qadam rakke chalna, Haram ki zami aur qadam rakke chalna, are sar ka mauka hai o jaane wale, are sar ka mauka hai o jaane wale. Allahu Akbar. Sayyidi, also mashallah, ulama ikram have stated looking at the Quran is ibadat.
Yes, mashallah.
Subhanallah. Looking at subhanallah, looking at the face of your parents, subhanallah, looking at the state of parents to make Allah happy, to make Allah
with
happy,
love,
with love, love, so with affection, Allah. Subhanallah, grants you the thawab and reward of one accepted a hajj itself.
Allah.
So this is also a form of worship and ibadat.
Subhanallah.
And together with that, beholding the Holy Kaaba, just by looking at the Kaaba, a person is not making tawaf of the Kaaba. Subhanallah, these are amongst the virtues of the Kaaba. Before we even speak about more facts, of course, people would like to know, Mu'asab, what bricks it's made with, why there's a ghilaf over the Holy Kaaba, you know. why this and why that, how did Hajri Aswad come in the Holy Kaaba, what is Hajri Aswad itself, and looking at the Holy Kaaba is also worship, is declared as Ibadat, Ya Sayyidi. Mm-hmm. So a person had to just sit in the Haram Sharif and just behold the beauty of the Holy Kaaba itself. Mm-hmm. Okay, this is the house of my Rabb Allah Azza wa Jalla. Allah. We make tawaf of this Holy Kaaba. It was erected by Sayyidina Adam alayhi salatu wasalam. How many angels and how many pious awliyas, abdal, awtad, how many great slaves and servants of Allah Azza wa Jalla had made tawaf of the Holy Kaaba, Ya Sayyidi.
In fact, Uzur, this is like, you can see the history of tawaf, the circumambulation going around, but seven times we have to go around. So this is linked to the angels.
Achha.
When Adam alayhi salam was being created by Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Once I was speaking about how the tawaf originated itself.
Originated.
Allahu Akbar. Achha.
So the angels, they questioned because they were intrigued that what is this new species or new creation? Because this was the first human being now, Adam alayhi salam. And so Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned, this is going to be my vicegerent on earth. So they said that we are also good candidates for that. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala explained to them the wisdom. And as a form of, you can say, apologizing, they came onto earth and that area actually, where it was designated, the Kaaba was going to be, then subhanallah, they made tawaf around the Kaaba Sharif. Achha. Out of a kind of apology to Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And alhamdulillah, tawaf has always been done of Ka'batullah. Though for us, the first Qibla was Baytul Maqdis in Palestine, but nobody ever did tawaf there. Tawaf was only reserved for the glorious Kaaba itself. And as you know, Kaaba Sharif is in Makkah Sharif. That's the birthplace of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And in the entirety of Makkah Sharif, there's so many different, there's other places close to the Kaaba itself. Mawasa mentioned about Hajri Aswad. And as you know, there's four corners of the Kaaba Sharif. Yes. Rukni Yamani, which is pointing in the direction of Yemen. One is Rukni Shami towards Sham. The other Rukni Iraqi towards Iraq. And the other corner is the corner of where the Hajri Aswad is, the black stone. And subhanallah azza wa jalla, then between the rukn or the corner of the Hajri Aswad and Iraqi, then we have the glorious door of the Kaaba, the golden door of the Kaaba.
Subhanallah.
And some narrations mentioned there were two doors before, and there was a window, and that was closed
up.
But the actual, we're seeing a cubed building, right? According to some, the estimate is about approximately 13 meters high. In height, 13 meters approximately.
The Kaaba Sharif itself.
The Kaaba Sharif itself, the height of it. And if you do one shout, one round around the Kaaba as close as possible, then it may take you in total walking distance, or maybe just over half a kilometer.
Allahu Akbar.
600 and something meters actually.
And it becomes further if you tawaf the Holy Kaaba from a further distance,
It becomes longer.
Right.
Subhanallah Azza wa Jal. But this walking is like no other walking. Because this walking is actually part of the ritual of the Hajj, this tawaf we're talking about. And the thawab, for every step there's reward. Where else, just for walking, you're going to get reward. But for tawaf of the glorious Kaaba.
Subhanallah.
And
the question was that why is the Hatim around the Kaaba a semicircle? Mawasab can shed some light, inshallah.
Subhanallah. Well, originally the Kaaba was not cube shaped, like square.
Oh, yeah, okay.
If you're looking from the top.
Top, right?
It was a rectangle.
Allahu Akbar.
It was a rectangle building. Originally, the Kaaba Sharif was rectangular in shape, you can say.
I'm sure many have heard this for the first time. I mean,
possibly
being rectangular. It was not squared as it is today.
It wasn't cubed, times,
right?
But if you look from the top,
it was.
Now it's like a square. If you look from the top. But before it was rectangular building.
Okay. From an aerial view, you mean?
From an aerial view.
Okay, all right.
So there was a time when the Kaaba Sharif, maybe floods came or erosion or whatever it is. And then some of it was reconstructed a few times. And the last time, because the Quraysh had insufficient halal money. So they could not build the full Kaaba itself. And they settled for the cube structure. Allah. And it remained like that.
Subhanallah.
So where that Hatim is, that horseshoe shape place, that area there is also the Kaaba.
Allahu Akbar.
So if somebody performs salah in the Hatim, he has performed salah in the Kaaba.
Subhanallah, Subhanallah.
You know they say,
baat Madine ki.
You know, look at the mercy of Allah Subhanahu wa Taala. That today, back in the days, according to historians, anybody was allowed to enter the Kaaba, to go inside. But nowadays, only dignitaries and high-profile people, and it's opened on certain certain times only. So the public now hasn't got a chance. Because, I mean, imagine performing salah inside the Kaaba, which direction you're going to face?
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar.
Because the Kaaba itself is a Qibla.
Subhanallah.
Ulama say, any wall you face, your salah is accepted because you're in the Kaaba itself.
Though it is also prohibited to be on top of the Holy Kaaba, a person cannot even imagine to be there. When birds would not fly over it, when aeroplanes cannot fly, then how would a human think of being over the Kaaba? But for some reason, if that was the case, then the direction just as in front of the Holy Kaaba will be the same direction over the Kaaba. Yani a person can face any direction.
Yeah, if they're inside the Kaaba, inside they can the face Holy Kaaba. In any direction.
Any direction, yes.
So that is reserved, entry into the Kaaba nowadays is reserved for VIPs, you can say. So the poor man who can't get in there, he can get in the Hatim.
Subhanallah.
It's exact same thing because that is part of the Kaaba itself.
It there's
is
the hikmah Kaaba. Behind the Sayyidi, why that portion was left.
Yes, Allahu Subhanallah. This, you see, we don't know the wise plannings of Almighty Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. So no matter poor, rich, whatever it is, you get into the
Hatim. Every day a person can get an opportunity to perform Salah there. And every time you perform your Salah in the Hatim of the Holy Kaaba, it is good as you have performed inside the Holy Kaaba. It is as if
it
you have
is,
performed.
Actually,
yeah,
yes.
It is. Subhanallah. Subhanallah, Subhanallah. This is the planning of our Rabb Allah Azza wa Jalla for the Muslims until the day of Qiyamah, dear viewers. Because this house of Allah Azza wa Jalla, yani the Holy Kaaba, the place of worship, will always remain till doomsday, dear viewers.
Allah.
Until Allah Azza wa Jalla wills, it will be lifted once again. It will ascend once again towards the heavens. In fact, if you listen to the narrations, how the Holy Kaaba will be brought to Maidan-e-Mahshar. How people will be making tawaf of the Holy Kaaba. How angels will come with 70,000 golden chains.
Allah.
And by the hukum of Allah Azza wa Jalla, they will chain the Holy Kaaba. And then it will be ordered to bring the Holy Kaaba to Maidan-e-Mahshar, to the plains of Mahshar, accountability, reckoning. Sayyidi, it is stated that the Kaaba will then be given a tongue to speak
Allah,
and two lips,
Subhanallah.
And it's a long narration, I'm just summarizing it for people to know that yes, all this is not null and void. Everything around us has life and they make Allah's tasbih and dhikr. Sayyidi, on the day of judgment, the Holy Kaaba will say, Ya Allah Azza wa Jalla, I want to say something. After being given ijazah to say, it will speak, Ya Allah, I want those who made tawaf of me to be forgiven.
Allah
accept,
Akbar,
accept my intercession on their behalf, Sayyidi.
Allah,
Allahu Akbar. Those who were sinners, those who made tawaf of the Holy Kaaba, they all will be erected. They will be saying, Labbaik, Allahumma Labbaik, around the Holy Kaaba. Whilst making tawaf of those, there's 3-4 requests the Kaaba will give to Allah Azza wa Jalla. And each and every request will be accepted through the mercy of Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. After which, finally now, when the angels will be taking the Kaaba and going, people will be making tawaf of the very same Kaaba that will be taken to the plains of Mahshar, inshallah, Azza wa Jalla. So these riwayat are there, Sayyidi. And when we read them, it just makes the heart happy and joyful. And we can only imagine what it will be like on the day of Mahshar to have seen such a scene like this. Subhanallah, Subhanallah. Dear viewers of Madani channel, this is the blessings of Kaabatullah Sharif. Just few facts about the Holy Kaaba we are speaking and discussing. Subhanallah. There are some who have just a thread of the ghilaf of Holy Kaaba.
Allah.
They treasure it. Jihad. Because it has connection with the ghilaf of the Holy Kaaba. It had touched the Holy Kaaba itself. Anything that touched the Kaaba also gains superiority. Subhanallah. It gains excellence.
Subhanallah.
Subhanallah. Acha, Ya Sayyidi, there are so many more other questions. We even have a kalam that has to be, mashallah, recited, that we all want to hear, mashallah. And I'm hoping and I'm most certain that the viewers of Madani channel will most definitely enjoy this kalam, inshallah, azza wa jalla. So can I request the viewers not to leave and rather to be with us until the end of the episode? Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam.
Allah karam, Allah karam,
Mala,
Allah karam,
Mala,
Allah karam,
Mala,
Hazir hai tere darbar mein,
Mala,
Allah karam, Allah karam,
Deti یہ چشمے
نم مولا اللہ کرم اللہ کرم
مولا جن لوگوں پہ ہے انعام تیرا ان لوگوں میں لکھ دے نام میرا جن لوگوں پہ ہے انعام تیرا ان لوگوں میں لکھ دے نام میرا محشر میں میرا رہ جائے بھرم
مولا اللہ کرم اللہ کرم
مولا
اللہ کرم اللہ کرم
ہر سال طلب فرما ہم کو ہر سال وہ شہر دکھا ہم کو ہر سال طلب فرما ہم کو ہر سال وہ شہر دکھا ہم کو ہر سال کریں ہم طواف حرم
مولا اللہ کرم اللہ کرم
مولا
اللہ کرم اللہ کرم
حرم یسر ہو مجھے کاش وقوف عرفات حرم یسر ہو مجھے کاش وقوف عرفات جلوہ میں مزدلفہ اور مینا کا
مولا یا خدا حج پہ بلا آ کے میں کعبہ دیکھوں کاش ایک بار میں پھر میٹھا مدینہ دیکھوں
جھوم کر خوب کروں خانہ کعبہ طواف جھوم کر خوب کروں خانہ کعبہ کا طواف پھر مدینے کو چلوں گنبد خضرا دیکھوں
مولا
یا ربنا ارحم لنا یا ربنا ارحم لنا
ارحم لنا
مولا
یا ربنا اللہ ارحم لنا اللہ یا ربنا اللہ ارحم لنا
تیرے گھر کے پھیرے لگاتا رہوں میں سردا شہر مکہ میں آتا رہوں میں
یا ربنا اللہ ارحم لنا اللہ یا ربنا اللہ ارحم لنا
الہی میں پھرتا رہوں گردِ کعبہ الہی میں پھرتا رہوں گردِ کعبہ یوں قسمت کی گردش مٹاتا رہوں میں سردا شہر مکہ میں آتا رہوں میں
یا ربنا اللہ ارحم لنا اللہ یا ربنا اللہ ارحم لنا
الہی تو ایسا مقدر عطا کر الہی تو ایسا مقدر عطا کر ہمیشہ ہی طیبہ میں آتا رہوں میں سردا شہر مکہ میں آتا رہوں میں
یا ربنا اللہ ارحم لنا اللہ یا ربنا اللہ ارحم لنا
ارحم لنا اپنا حرم دکھا دے دونوں جہاں کے مالک اپنا حرم دکھا دے دونوں جہاں کے مالک قسمت میری جگہ دے دونوں جہاں کے مالک
اے میرے مولا
مولا
اے میرے مولا
مولا
اے میرے مولا مولا مولا
برسوں سے آرزو ہے طیبہ کی جستجو ہے برسوں سے آرزو ہے طیبہ کی جستجو ہے ایک بار پھر دکھا دے ایک بار پھر دکھا دے دونوں جہاں کے مالک
اے میرے مولا
مولا
اے میرے مولا
مولا
اے میرے مولا مولا مولا
صلوا على الحبيب صلى الله تعالى على محمد صلى الله تعالى عليه وسلم yes keep desiring to visit the holy kaaba madinatul munawwara and also masjid al-aqsa inshallah azza wa jalla subhanallah amin ya rabbal alamin Muasab spoke about this that it's one corner of the holy kaaba
yes
and can Muasab mention where are the stones from itself
this stone according to a blessed hadith is a stone from jannah
allahu akbar
In fact, the hadith mentions the Hajar-e-Aswad, the black stone, and the Maqam Ibrahim. That's a stone as well.
As well.
These are two rubies brought from Jannah.
Allahu Akbar.
They were luminous, they were bright and shining at one stage. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala concealed their brightness. Otherwise, they would have brightened the east and the west.
Allahu Ghani.
So originally, they were very bright and shining. That brightness was concealed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Another narration says that when Hajar-e-Aswad was fixed into the wall of the Kaaba, brightness reached a long distance away in all four directions.
Allahu Akbar.
Subhanallah.
Subhanallah.
And as far as its brightness reached, it Kaaba. Was declared the limits of the haram in which hunting was forbidden.
Subhanallah.
I think we all heard of this, that the color of Hajar-e-Aswad originally was white.
Achha.
But then over time, because of sinners touching it or kissing it, then it turned black in color.
Allah, Allah,
and this is what we call it, Hajar-e-Aswad,
Aswad.
The black stone. Aswad, the black stone. Subhanallah. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had placed his mubarak lips on it and kissed it as well. The second Khalifa of Islam, Sayyidina Umar al-Faruq radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he mentions that, and he addresses the Hajar-e-Aswad, the black stone, that, oh Hajar-e-Aswad, I know that you're a stone. You cannot bring any benefit, you cannot bring any harm or loss. If I had not seen Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam kissing you, then I would never have kissed you. And today, you see, Huzur, that in one way it's unfortunate. The people, they push each other in order just to touch Hajar-e-Aswad. But you know, that is recommended, that is ideal, that is best if you can kiss it, if you can touch it. But if you're causing harm to other Muslims, by pushing them and sometimes arguing and fighting right there by Ka'batullah, then that is forbidden. To harm another Muslim is a major sin. So the facility given by the Sharia is to do istilam. That from afar, you can't get close by, then from afar you raise your hands towards the Hajar-e-Aswad and it still qualifies, you kiss your hands, it still qualifies as if you touch the Kaaba. And it will, because it records, On the Day of Judgment, it's going to appear. Narration says, subhanAllah Azza wa Jal, that on Qiyamah, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that the stone will be raised on the Day of Judgment. It will have two eyes with which it will be able to see. It will have a tongue with which it will speak and bear witness to whoever kissed it.
SubhanAllah.
So istilam is also as good as kissing the Hajar-e-Aswad. And subhanAllah, touching the Hajar-e-Aswad, yes, removes sins. The Hajar-e-Aswad itself would make salam to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam even before he announced his prophethood and the blessed stone is going to return to its original form once again on Qiyamah. The size of it will be as huge as Mount Abu Qubais.
Subhanallah! Kya baat hai Madinah ki? Kya baat hai Subhanallah? Sayyidi, just to elaborate and to mention a little more about the same thing, yani the Hajar-e-Aswad. Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, according to one narration, said to Nabi Ismail alayhi salatu wasalam, my son, go and fetch a stone upon which I would stand and erect the holy Kaaba. As he went in search, and he just reached the age where he could help his father. فَلَمَّا بَلَغَ مَعَهُ السَّعْيَ. The Quran even speaks about him. He reached the age where he was able to understand matters in the sense of helping his father.
Yes.
And when he went out for this work to find a stone, that's when Hazrat Sayyidina Jibril Amina alayhi salatu wasalam directed him towards his two stones and mentioned, Allah, should I not take you towards a stone that came with Adam alayhi salatu wasalam from Jannah? Subhanallah. And that's when, as you mentioned, these two rubies, these two stones were given, upon which one he stood upon one of the stones, and that was Maqam Ibrahim, as Musa mentioned, and the other is Hajar Aswad. Subhanallah. How fortunate are those who are able to kiss and touch this Mubarak and wonderful stone without harming others, without hurting others, Sayyidi. Subhanallah. And I'm sure there are many people who went and tried getting close to it and they realized this is impossible to get close to
it. And Yuzur, even, you know, they say that the composition of what Hajar Aswad is made up of, still today, even the experts have no idea.
Allah.
They try to guess a little bit of this mineral or that and this, but as a whole, you know, we don't know what it's actually made up of.
Even Jannat is such, Masab, that it does not fit into the mind of a person.
Allah.
It does not fit the intellect of a person.
Absolutely.
So anything from Jannat is as well is unique. Subhanallah. Subhanallah. There are many karamats and miracles that were exhibited via the stone as well. And this was a miracle of Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. Can Muasa maybe shed some light on this matter?
Well, in fact, there is reference to this in the glorious Quran, Maqam Ibrahim. Allah Jalla Jalaluhu states in Surah Al-Baqarah verse 125, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم واتخذوا من مقام إبراهيم مصلى. And make مقام إبراهيم, meaning the standing place of Ibrahim, a station for salah. As Munasab has mentioned, this stone is also from Jannah. What was the purpose of it? So we see that Nabi Ibrahim Khalilullah alayhi salam, he would use it and he would stand upon it. And there are several times actually that he stood upon it. Very briefly, inshallah, once he was standing on this blessed stone and his daughter-in-law, meaning the wife of Nabi Ismail alayhi salam, helped to wash his blessed head while he was standing on the stone. And then when he was rebuilding or reconstructing the glorious Kaaba, and the walls were getting higher and higher. In our time, we're going to use a ladder or something like this.
Scaffolding?
Scaffolding as well. Hmm. We can use this. But subhanAllah, this was a natural scaffolding. A natural ladder. We can say a natural elevator.
Achha.
And the power source was spirituality. So as the walls were getting higher and higher,
Ji.
Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam, he would stand upon this and it would move upwards.
Automatically.
Through the power of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so that he was able to finish the entire construction of the glorious Kaaba.
Subhanallah.
And then subhanallah azza wa jal, it helped him also to stand upon, to place the Hajri Aswad in the corner of the Kaaba Sharif itself, subhanallah. So it was for these purposes, but subhanallah, end of the day, it is also not just an ordinary stone. It is from paradise as well.
Subhanallah. MashaAllah. I'd just like to add another thing to it, that imagine when Allah Kareem has ordered man to make Maqam Ibrahim the Musalla, and it is revered and respected in this way because that is the place where Nabi Ibrahim placed his Mubarak foot.
Subhanallah.
So the place where he placed his Mubarak foot has attained that Maqam. Then what about the place where Rasulullah is resting himself, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? What about that maqam, Sayyidi? That stone is shown respect today. We kiss that stone as well from the glass that is kept inside. Subhanallah. People
in fact,
would witness.
Ulama ikram have mentioned that that piece of land or the ground of the blessed grave of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the sand which is touching his blessed body has a higher status than even the glorious Kaaba. It is higher in rank and status than the arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Allahu Akbar. Jazakallah Sayyidi for sharing this wonderful and amazing Madani pearls with us. Dear viewers, we have just 2-3 minutes before we come to the end of the program. The virtues of Hajar Aswad itself, Sayyidi.
Okay, we did mention some of them, inshallah. But just to refresh our minds, that subhanallah, just touching Hajar Aswad, it actually removes one's sins. There's no other stone actually that you're going to touch and your sins will be removed. So this is one of the exclusivities of Hajar Aswad, subhanallah. And this is a stone that is going to have eyes and a mouth on the Day of Judgment. And it will testify to all, for all those people that kissed it. Subhanallah Azza wa Jal. And on the Qiyamah, this stone is going to be the size of Mount Abu Qubais. Mount Abu Qubais is not a small, it's a mountain. It's not a small thing, subhanallah. And subhanallah, it would make salam as well to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It recognized him as a prophet of Allah Azza wa Jal. And even before he announced his prophethood, it would make salam to him.
Subhanallah. And if Hajar al-Aswad, being a stone, has the capacity of remembering who kissed it, and it will intercede for them on the Day of Judgment, then how can our Nabi not know who sends salams for him? Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Absolutely.
He is that Aqa and that beloved Master sallallahu alayhi wa sallam who gives reply to his ummati, subhanallah. And he knows the condition of each and every ummati. When Allah Kareem can give this ability and power to a stone to have the record of all those until the Day of Judgment who touched it and kissed it, who showed respect to it, then why not to the beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who is Imamul Anbiya.
Absolutely.
For whose sake this entire world and creation came into existence, Ya Sayyidi. Allah does say, Zameen o Zama, Tumhari liye, Makkin o Maka, Tumhari liye, Chunin o Chuna, Tumhari liye, Bane do Jahan, Tumhari liye, MashaAllah, SubhanAllah. And this takes us right to the end of the program, Sayyidi. The time was so short, I wish we had more air time to discuss more blessings of the Holy Kaaba and about Makkatul Mukarrama. But yes, each and every day we are going to be speaking about its virtues and blessings. So stay tuned and locked with Madani Channel, not only for today, tonight, but even tomorrow and the upcoming programs and events as well, inshallah, Azza wa Jal. I say shukran to Mulana Sahib for being part and parcel of the program. I'm looking forward to tomorrow's program as well, inshallah, Azza wa Jal. We're going to be speaking about the city of the beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, inshallah. Stay tuned with Madani Channel. Until next time, dear viewers, keep reciting durood and salawat upon Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
A journey of a lifetime. From Makkah's light to Zamzam's grace. From Makkah's light to Zamzam's grace. A journey of hearts through time and place. A journey of heart through time and place.